We welcome you inside the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Chris McPherson alongside Bo Wolf. Please be joined by phone by the director of scouting for the National Football Post, Russ Landy. You can follow him on Twitter at Russ Landy. And Russ, the first thing we want to get into is on Monday night, it's the BCS National Championship game between Notre Dame and Alabama. And for fans who are going to be watching the game and might be wondering if there's a guy the Eagles might want to select in the draft, who are some of the prospects that fans should be keeping an eye on tonight?
Well, I mean, there's so many, it's almost impossible to really give you a few. But, I mean, when you look at Alabama, you have three offensive linemen that if they all come out for the draft, you're going to probably have three first or high second-round picks in Chance Warmack, their guard, who is generally considered the top guard, a possible top 10 pick. Barrett Jones, who's played center, guard, and tackle at Alabama, is probably going to play center or guard in the NFL, probably going to be a late first or second-round pick. And you also have DJ Fluker, who's played right tackle for them. Big, powerful kid, more of a right tackle in the NFL, not going to be able to switch back and play left, but a guy who's going to be a second-round pick in the NFL. And I think also you have some great defensive players on both sides of the ball. I think when you look at Alabama, Jesse Williams, a big defensive tackle, still learning how to play the game. But a lot of NFL teams have told me that they feel he's one of those guys who 2 years from now could be one of those dominant football players that people look back and say, how did he slide into the 20s or get into the top of the second round? Obviously, everybody knows about Manti Te'o, great linebacker for Notre Dame. NFL teams are very interested tonight to watch him. This is probably the fastest team he'll have gone against in his college career. They want to see how he handles it because the big concern with him is just, does he have that great speed to really put himself as a premier top three or four pick, or is he just a good all-around player who's more of a mid-first-round pick? And another guy to keep an eye on, Alabama cornerback Dee Milliner, underclassman, expected to come out early. This kid, a lot of scouts believe, is better than Drake Kirkpatrick, who was a mid-first-round pick last year. The big physical cornerback, well-built kid, only 5'11", but very well-built, big-bodied kid, great physical coverage, willing to hit, natural ball skills, got a chance to be a very special football player at the next level.
Russ, but doubling up on Milliner here, it sounds like if he does come out, he might be the first cornerback off the board. Obviously, corner is a position the Eagles may look to draft early in this draft. Would four be too high for him?
I think he'd be a little bit high. I think he's probably going to be a guy that goes in that probably, I would say, probably 15 to 25 range, just because I don't think he's going to run a blazing 40. I think he's going to be in the 4.5s. And a lot of the time, that's enough to knock a guy down. But he's generally viewed as, if not the best corner, he's right there with Jonathan Banks out of Mississippi State as the two top guys right now.
Russ, who are some of the other key underclassmen that could declare in the next week or so that could really shake up this first round of the draft?
Well, there's a few guys. The A&M tackles, Jake Matthews is expected to stay, but Luke Jokel is probably 50-50. If he were to come out, he's probably going to be a top 10 pick. Taylor Lewan, another offensive tackle out of Michigan, if he declares that he's coming out, that's going to be a big thing because then you're going to have two elite junior offensive tackles. It's going to push a lot of the good tackles. Odeya Boucher from over at Virginia is going to get pushed down. Eric Fisher from out of Central Michigan probably get pushed down a little bit. So it'll give teams like Philadelphia maybe in the second round a chance to take one of these elite tackles if they don't take one in the first round. Those two guys, to me, are the two guys who are going to change the top of the draft more than anything else, because they're whether they're there or not, that's going to really determine how long a team can wait to go get an offensive tackle.
Russ, obviously it's a little difficult to project what the Eagles might be looking at in this draft right now because we don't know what kind of schemes they're going to be employing. We don't even know if it's going to be 4-3-3-4, but if you look at a guy who we've heard a little bit about, Starlo Tulele, the defensive tackle from Utah, could he fit either scheme? Is he a guy who could be in the conversation at number four?
Oh, I think he definitely can be. I mean, if you're a team that plays a 3-4, I think he's a guy that you have to look at as both a nose tackle and a defensive end because I think he's so gifted. I think he could play either one. If you're a team that plays a 4-3, I think he's the type of guy who can be a dominant defensive tackle. I really like him as an all-around player. I think he has the speed to chase plays down in pursuit. I think he's got the explosive power to knock guys backwards and off their feet. And I think he has deceptive quickness to get into gaps and make plays. There are a lot of similarities, in my opinion, between him and Ndamukong Suh coming out of college. I think this kid's going to be a very, very good football player in the NFL.
I would love to see him pair with Fletcher Cox for years to come. We're on the phone with Russ Landy, the director of scouting for the National Football Post. Now, Russ, it's never too early for a mock draft, and you have done one for the first round. And at number four, you spoke of the underclassmen. You have one of the underclassmen in Jake Matthews going to the Eagles at number four. Why do you have the Eagles going there?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear to anybody who followed the Eagles this year that one of the big problems they had with the offensive line, especially with Jason Peters being hurt before the season, they were struggling all year to figure out a way to protect the quarterback. And I don't know if Jake Matthews is coming out. I've heard that he's actually debating now and probably leaning towards staying. But when you look at him and you look at Luke Jokel from Texas A&M, these are both tremendous players. Matthews is an outstanding athlete, one of the most aggressive linemen you'll see in the country. I think he's the type of guy who could step in, even though he played right tackle in college, I think he could step in and handle playing left tackle from day one in the NFL, and I think he's going to be a top NFL player. I think Luke Jokel, if Matthews were not to come out, would also come in, and if the Eagles took him at four, he would solidify the left tackle spot. And I think that's vital for the Eagles, whether it's stepping in to fill in for Peters until he's healthy or handling right tackle while Peters tries to work himself in, whichever way you want to do it, either one of them would upgrade the Eagles' offensive line drastically.
We're talking with Russ Landy of the National Football Post. Russ, how about the state of the quarterback position coming into this draft? You had Mike Glennon from NC State as the first guy off the board in your mock draft. We've also heard Geno Smith talked about as maybe top 10. I even saw Taj Boyd talked about as a first-round pick. Who are some of those guys, and is there anybody who's sort of projects as a franchise quarterback, a top five guy?
There isn't in my eyes. I mean, I think Glennon, and he's not my number one quarterback, but the one thing I saw when I watched him is I saw a lot of similarities in terms of style of play to Matt Ryan. And because of that, I think he's going to move up draft boards, even though I don't know if he warrants. I mean, I don't think he warrants being a top 10 pick, but I think there's a good chance he could move into that territory. But there's a lot of interesting quarterbacks this year, but each one of them has a flaw, whether it's Glennon, whether it's Matt Barkley out at USC, who's not a real big kid, lacks a great arm, but has all the intangibles and great fundamentals, or Tyler Wilson from Arkansas, who's an excellent athlete with an underrated arm, who makes great play after great play behind a terrible offensive line. Tyler Bray, the kid from Tennessee, probably one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks in the country in terms of arm strength, ability to make every throw with ease, but he goes through periods of wild inconsistency. Then you have guys like Geno Smith, who you would have sworn the first six games of this year he was a lock to be the first pick in the draft, and then the second half of the season for West Virginia, he along with the whole team sort of struggled, and he really didn't show that same consistency in terms of accuracy and decision-making that he did early on. So there are a lot of concerns about how is he going to function over the long haul as a quarterback. Is he going to maintain consistency? In terms of Boyd, I can't comment on him as a player that I've seen, but I know scouts have told me that they view him as sort of a dynamic, explosive athlete playing the quarterback position. They're trying to figure out if he has the passing skills to make it like Russell Wilson has, and that's really the big determining factor now to how high he would be drafted if he came out early for the draft.
Russ, if you're putting together your big board, who is your number one player at this point? Because unlike last year, there doesn't seem to be a consensus lockdown number one player at the top.
You know, right now I'd probably go with Bjorn Werner. He's a junior defensive end out of Florida State who came out, announced he's going to come out last week. This kid reminds me so much of Chris Long, who plays for the Rams. He's a guy who plays with tireless effort, plays as if his hair's on fire. He's a natural explosive kid off the ball, great hand use, knows how to turn the corner, is great against the run in terms of taking on blocks, maintaining the proper leverage and positioning, getting off the block and making the tackle. I mean, there's a lot of things to like about this kid. And when you add in all those positives and the fact that he just started playing football in high school, didn't play it before that, he's going to get so much better, I think, in the future that he could be a dominant defensive end in the NFL for a long time.
Russ, last question. We're going to change gears a little bit from the draft. You put it on Twitter the other day that you've had some interactions with Gus Bradley in the past. He's one of the guys we know the Eagles are going to interview this week. They're expected to, at least, the Seahawks defensive coordinator. What can you tell us about Gus Bradley?
Well, firstly, I think he'd be a great hire. I mean, I got to know Gus when he was the pro liaison up at North Dakota State, and I was scouting for the Browns and covered North Dakota State, and we would have interactions two or three times every year. He's just a really impressive guy. Not only as a person is he a good man and have high character, but when it comes to coaching, it's clear when you watch him out on the practice field, he gets it with the kids. He's able to interact. He's able to teach them the fundamentals of the game while at the same time demanding excellence. He walks that fine line, which is what the great coaches do, which is you don't browbeat your kids into wanting to quit, but you don't just go soft on him so they can rule the house. You walk that line. He does that. He's a great X's nose guy. I think he's going to be an outstanding head coach in the NFL when he gets that opportunity.
Russ Landy, the director of scouting for the National Football Post. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Russ Landy. It's one of his favorite times of the year, no question about it. Russ, you do great work for the National Football Post, and we thank you very much for joining us for a couple minutes here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.